Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Imagine that many or most of you probably have either read or seen a movie version of Robert Louis Stevenson's story, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Or at least you've, I'm sure, heard about the basic premise of that story. It depicts a man who is torn by the struggle between two separate personalities that are struggling to dominate his mind. One side, Dr. Jekyll, is capable of love, gentleness, and humanitarian concern, but the other side, Mr. Hyde, is violent and destructive and simply governed by animalistic desires. Really, that is an apt description of the spiritual condition of all of us. Even the Apostle Paul, whose words we just read, inspired by the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 5, even he described the great internal struggle that he wrestled with throughout his life, even after becoming a follower of Jesus and having been commissioned by Jesus to be the foremost messenger of the gospel to the non-Jewish people, to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7, "I do not understand what I am doing, because I do not keep doing what I want. Instead, I do what I hate. The desire to do good is present within me, but I am not able to carry it out. So I fail to do the good I want to do. Instead, the evil I do not want to do, that is what I keep doing."
Of course, this is not just the case for the Apostle Paul. All Christians have this struggle within us. We're all caught in the tension between our sinful nature and our new self of faith in Jesus as our Savior. Because we are created as human beings in God's image, we're drawn back to our Creator almost by instinct. Without even realizing it, we mirror the Almighty God in many, although very imperfect now in our fallen sinful state, ways. For example, the creative instinct within us shows our connection to our Creator and His image. By painting a landscape, or writing a poem, or a piece of music, or designing a building, we reflect the creative instinct of God Himself, who called the entire universe and the world and everything in it into existence simply by His powerful word. But on the other hand, there is another urge that pulls us toward destructive pursuits, lurking in our fallen human nature as a prowling urge for self-gratification. Our sinful nature loves darkness to try to hide its evil. So in chapter 13 of his letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul urges his readers, "Let us put away the deeds of darkness and put on the weapons of light. Let us walk decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual sin and wild living, not in strife and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not give any thought to satisfying the desires of your sinful flesh." And so if we're honest enough to remove the mask of self-justification that we so often like to wear, we can all testify to times of crawling in the darkness of sin. What can we do to resolve this struggle between our sinful nature and our new self in Christ? Well, in the secular realm and in the world around us that does not perhaps believe in God or His word, we would consider seeing a psychologist. Someone who could help us distinguish between those two personalities that seek to dominate our minds. In a way, that is what the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, does for us in our sermon text, Romans chapter 5. In a masterful way, he leads us back to the roots of that division within us. And that division that has entered into God's creation and affected all of humankind. He points to the two dominant figures in the biblical drama of salvation history. The first Adam,
the anti-hero in the Garden of Eden, and the second Adam, Jesus, the hero of the cross and the empty tomb. Paul suggests that both the first and the second Adam can have a profound influence on our lives today. In fact, their influence lies behind that double urge that we experience. Paul points out that there is a direct relationship between these giants of the two testaments, Old and New Testament. We are told that Adam is a pattern or type of the one who was to come. Both Adam and Jesus began their earthly existences in sinless perfection. Both are identified with a unique act that had a dramatic impact on the temporal and eternal dimensions of our human existence. But that's where the similarities end. The first Adam failed. As part of his perfect condition, he was endowed with a free will. He chose to eat the forbidden fruit after Satan had made inroads into his heart, delighting in delusions of grandeur, wanting to be like God, and lusting after independence from God. Adam took the plunge into sin. And that single act has had universal implications. Just like the swiftly moving contamination from a nuclear explosion that mushrooms out over a large area, infecting everything it touches, the first Adam contaminated all subsequent humanity. The Apostle Paul explains in verse 12 of our reading, "So then, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, so also death spread to all people, because all sinned." So it's no wonder that we feel at times like crawling in the darkness. That instinct was part of our human nature already at our conception, because we have inherited a sinful nature from our parents, who inherited it from theirs all the way back to our first ancestors, Adam and Eve. Paul says in verse 18 of our text that the result of one trespass was condemnation for all people. And he reinforces that in verse 19 with the reminder that through the disobedience of one man, Adam, the many became sinners. Does that concept offend you? We may rebel at this teaching, thinking that we are unjustly condemned because of something that our first ancestor, Adam, did, and we are now suffering the consequences of his mistake, his sin. But emotions cannot change the reality of our situation. Through the fall of the first Adam, all humankind is conceived and born in sin, subject to death and under the just wrath of God because of our sins that we have committed against him. By our sinful nature, we all share delight in the darkness of sin. But now Paul points to the second Adam, the greater reality. Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Son of Man, also uniquely represented and had an impact on the entire human race for all time. The second Adam, Christ, lived in sinless perfection, while the first Adam did not. And on the cross, the second Adam reversed what the first Adam had begun, the fatal contamination of the entire human race. And so the cross of Christ is our focal point during the entire 40-day season of Lent, because there it was that the Almighty God allowed his one and only Son to assume the role of sacrificial victim, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Writhing in pain from the agony of the crucifixion and staring into the cruel jaws of an unjustified death, the second Adam spoke to the world, "It is finished." Jesus used an expression
that was common in the business world of his day to mean that a debt was paid in full through the shedding of his innocent blood in our place. The debt of our sins, the punishment that our sins deserve, was completely paid. God's demand for justice for sin had been completely satisfied by the sacrifice of Jesus in our place. And as the Holy Spirit causes us to place our trust in that blood sacrificed by the second Adam for our sins, we are set free from captivity to our sinful nature. The Apostle Paul describes this liberation with these words in verses 18 and 19 of our reading. One righteous verdict led to life-giving justification for all people. Through the obedience of the one man, Jesus, the many will become righteous. As we are drawn to Christ through the Word and through the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, our spirits are lifted to the height of heavenly joy. We have been reconciled to God, restored to a harmonious relationship with Him, because Jesus has fully forgiven all of our sins. And now, for us who rejoice in that forgiveness and salvation, nothing in our whole lives feels better than living for Jesus and sensing that delightful spiritual harmony that we now have with God and with the entire world around us. Even in the midst of heartache and regrets, of the scars of sin that we still tragically experience in life, God still grants us the sweet nectar of His promise of a perfect eternal life with Him in heaven, free from all of the complications and the sorrows and the heartache of this life. For the believer in Christ, heaven is not merely a wishful thought, not merely a hope that we maybe someday will get there. No, for the believer, God assures us that heaven, perfect eternal future with Him, is a sure and certain reality. That we already now have eternal life through faith in Jesus. That this life of faith and harmony with God through Jesus our Savior will never end. Even if our bodies do die before Jesus comes back again on the last day, our souls will not die, but will go directly to be with God in that peace and joy of heaven, waiting for the last day when He will raise our bodies back to life and reunite body and soul to live with Him in perfection and glory forever. God has promised everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Before we go our separate ways today, we should make some plans for the future. Simply understanding our problems rarely makes those problems go away. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can take charge of our life and fly in the light of God's love instead of crawl in the darkness of sin. We can daily draw on the power of Christ to stay in the light. Tragically, it's possible for a person to refuse that victory over sin and death that Jesus has won for us. How foolish it would be to reject that pardon and forgiveness that is offered, that has been won for us by Jesus. A pardon that offers us not only life in this world, but for all eternity. God Himself invites us at the very end of the Bible, the end of the book of Revelation, whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Why crawl in the darkness of sin, death, despair, and insecurity? Claim that victory of life that the second Adam, Jesus, has won for you. Follow the Apostle Paul as he challenges you in our reading in verse 17 to reign in life through the one man, Jesus, our Savior. Claim your victory in the blood of Christ. Through the power granted by His death and resurrection, stop crawling in the darkness of sin when the
desires of your sinful nature tug at your heart and your mind. Instead, spread your wings and fly in the light of God's salvation.